Go to overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/online-therapy to get 20% off your first month of cognitive behavioural therapy, with weekly sessions online with a therapist, in addition to worksheets, a journal, meditation and yoga videos, and unlimited messaging. There's strong evidence that CBT can help people who hoard, and accessing therapy online can be affordable and accessible. Find out more and get your discount at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/online-therapy.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support. 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way, so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code ACAST to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
Welcome to the Overcome Compulsive Hoarding with That Hoarder podcast. I am drowning in stuff and trying to find a way out. Listen as I explore the issues and delve deep as somebody profoundly affected by hoarding disorder. Find out more, including links to subscribe to the podcast and all of my social media at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk. Finally, I am not a doctor. I am just a hoarder doing her best. So do seek professional support if and when you need it. Hey, how are you? I'm okay. It's been a funny week, but I'm okay. Today, I am talking about anticipating obstacles in advance, because what I'm increasingly finding is that it really, really helps in a number of ways. So I'm going to talk about why it's a surprisingly useful, or not that surprisingly useful, thing to try and kind of train ourselves to do. So quite a lot of de-hoarding is just sitting down and doing it. Quite a lot of it is just making ourselves do the mundane, practical stuff or the quite difficult emotional stuff. But it's a matter of just pushing ahead and keeping on. I say just as if that's an easy task, but you know what I mean. And to some degree, in my experience at least, looking at really bigger picture stuff gets intimidating and overwhelming. And so I try and stay focused on just what's in front of me, because if I start widening my perspective too much, I start to panic, I get overwhelmed, I can't envisage being able to do this. Whereas what I can envisage to some degree is being able to do what's right in front of me. But there is not only do what's right in front of you, or at the other end of the spectrum, take it all into account with everything you do. There are lines in between. And when you are doing what's right in front of you, you can let your mind expand a little bit to anticipate what's ahead. And when we anticipate what's ahead, we can start to see those obstacles or roadblocks that might trip us up. And something I'm finding is that when I know there is a potential obstacle coming in my kind of short-term future, even if I'm not thinking about it directly, it's like my brain is kind of working on solutions in the background. Like sometimes with this podcast, I have an idea for a topic, but I don't really know what it will look like. Like when I did the episode about the crooked spire in Chesterfield, I had put in my episode ideas spreadsheet something about the Chesterfield crooked spire sometime before I made that episode, because I had the idea and I knew there was something in it, but I hadn't quite worked out what. And so I wrote it down in the spreadsheet. And over time, while I was doing other things and not especially thinking about it, somewhere in the back of my brain was working on it. After a bit of time, I suddenly knew what the connection was with the Crooked Spire. I suddenly knew how that would turn into an episode, and I was able to make it. And in the same way, if we acknowledge that there's a potential roadblock coming up in our de-hoarding, to some degree, even when we're not actively thinking about it, our brain may be kind of working on it in the background. And when we know that there's a roadblock coming up, we can also be a bit more emotionally prepared for it, rather than being hit in the face by something we weren't expecting. If we know it's coming, we can brace ourselves a bit and just know that, okay, when I get to that bit of the room, that might be quite emotionally difficult. And also, when we anticipate obstacles that might come up, it can help us to really improve our efficiency with de-hoarding, because our brain is doing some of that problem solving in the background. So when we come to it, we don't have to start from scratch. We are somewhat prepared, or fully prepared, or partially prepared. And that helps us to move forward more efficiently and kind of keep that momentum going, because that's so important. When you feel like you're in the flow, when you feel like you have got momentum, you don't want to then be scuppered by an obstacle that you hadn't anticipated. So when we identify potential roadblocks ahead, we can start to think of strategies and tools and approaches that might help to overcome them. And as we do that, that can help also to reduce the degree we might be discouraged by these obstacles. Because there always will be obstacles, and some of them will be giant and some of them will be very minor. But any of them has the potential to make us lose confidence in what we're doing, to make us question what we're doing, to discourage us. And the more prepared we are, the less likely I think that is to happen. But also, when we feel a bit prepared for difficulties that are coming up, I think that makes it less stressful when we know what to expect. I remember having a wisdom tooth extracted years ago, and it was in a really weird position, and it was quite a difficult extraction. And the dentist said, "This is going to really hurt afterwards. You're going to feel rotten." And it sounds like a weird thing for a healthcare professional to say, but I actually really appreciated it. Because it meant that afterwards, when it did really hurt, I didn't start to panic and think, this is abnormal, something is wrong. I thought, okay, this is what she said would happen. And it was unpleasant, but I dealt with it. I would just rather know most of the time with difficult things. I would rather know what I'm dealing with than be taken by surprise. I think it helps me to feel in control if I have some awareness of what's coming. Another benefit of knowing of obstacles that are coming is it helps us to plan and it helps us to prioritize what's most important. Because when you are dealing with a hoard and it's very overwhelming and there's a lot to do, planning and prioritizing is really hard, I find. When there is, I don't know, if you've got a room with 200 boxes in, how on earth do you know where to start? If you've got a room with a pile of clothes as high as your shoulders, it's hard to prioritize and plan. If you allow yourself to look ahead a bit and think which bits are going to be trickiest, I don't want that to interrupt my progress, then you can start to plan ahead and prioritize what you're going to do, what you're going to focus on, what's most important to you, which aspects of progress are most important to you, which coping strategies are most important to you, and work out timings as well. I am terrible at working out timings. Whenever I assume a thing is going to take a certain amount of time, I am wildly wrong. With de-hoarding anyway. In either direction. Things I think will be really quick take ages. Things I think will take ages are really quick. But if you're better at anticipating how long things will take than I am, then planning ahead and looking ahead for roadblocks will help you to allocate your time a lot more effectively. And when you know what challenges are coming, that can actually help you to make better decisions about what you're keeping, what you're getting rid of. Because if that unexpected obstacle rears unexpectedly, you might panic, you might make a decision based on anxiety, based on surprise, based on feeling ill-equipped. Whereas if you have planned ahead and you know it's coming, then that bit of your brain that's pedaling away in the background looking for solutions might also be making decisions as well, so that when you come up to whatever it is that's likely to trip you up, you've already been processing some of your thoughts and feelings around it. And ultimately, the whole process can go a lot more smoothly when you are able to anticipate roadblocks in advance, because you can be proactive. This is such a key word in all of this. Rather than reactive, rather than coming up to a problem and going, oh no, you can be proactive in planning, and that will help you to keep going rather than stop you in your tracks. There will be fewer unexpected issues that stop you and more planned issues that you can deal with in a more streamlined way. So it's all very well me saying it's great to anticipate obstacles in advance. It's you might be listening and thinking, yeah, that all sounds like good reasons, but how? How do you do that? And it's something I'm working on myself. It's something I'm getting somewhat better at. And I find that the more de-hoarding I do, the better I get at anticipating what will be an obstacle and what won't. I think earlier on in this process, I found it a lot harder because I didn't have any experience or much experience. And so it was harder to foresee what might be difficult to deal with, or what might distract me, or what might get in my way. So now, my current approach, if I come across nostalgic stuff, I now know that can be a roadblock in several ways for me. One is that it might distract me. I might find myself looking through old photos instead of de-hoarding or reading old letters. Another way it can be an obstacle is it might make me sad. It might remind me of somebody who's died, for instance. Another obstacle is it might trigger bad memories or trigger good memories, both of which are a distraction. A further obstacle is I have not yet come up with a consistent or effective way to de-hoard that stuff. I know that it's one of my most difficult areas. And so on the grounds that there is still a vast amount of other things I can be de-hoarding in the meantime, what I'm mostly doing with nostalgic stuff is putting it to one side and thinking I will deal with that when there is less of everything else to do, when I have had a lot more de-hoarding practice, when I have built up that de-hoarding muscle and I am more equipped to deal with it. Now, that is something I know now, currently, is the best approach for me. When I started de-hoarding, I had no idea that that was a particular area that was going to really challenge me. Now I know that. And so when I am de-hoarding, say I have a box on top of a box, and so I lift off the top box to deal with, and I see that in the bottom box there is nostalgic stuff. I can see letters, photos, funeral information, something like that. Then as I am dealing with the top box, the one I was planning to, I am also letting some of my mind wander to how I'm going to deal with the fact that there's this other box. For me, currently, that would often look like, okay, I can see that in that box there's stuff that I might find difficult or distracting. It's not something I should be dealing with right now. There are things I can be more efficient with for the time being. So what I'm going to do is put that box over there and deal with it at a later date. Now, if I had nothing left to do other than that box, that wouldn't be a good strategy. But currently, I have plenty else to do. So that feels like a good way of anticipating something that would either slow me down or veer me off course entirely and preventing that. In order to anticipate this stuff, we have to be quite proactive. But when we are, it can smooth the process so much. It can really change the game. And part of that is being realistic. One obstacle a lot of us face is our own minds. And so when I am setting my own goals, something I've learned to do is remind myself I am terrible at anticipating how long this will take. And I know that because of that, an obstacle can be that at the end of a period of de-hoarding, I might have made considerably less progress than I was expecting. And I know that that can lead me to feel very disappointed in myself or very disappointed in the process or very like, this is pointless. Why am I even bothering? All of that. And so I know now that that is an obstacle I can face if I get too specific about how much I need to have achieved by a certain time or by a certain day. And that's an obstacle that I'm able to anticipate. And because I anticipate that, I build into my process a lot more wiggle room when I can, a lot more, okay, my goal is to work on this, not to complete this. My goal is to make as much progress as I can, not to entirely clear this area. So that kind of self-reflection on what has tripped me up in the past, is there any of that in front of me right now? That is a really good way to anticipate obstacles, reflecting on what you've done before. Another way to anticipate obstacles is to try and evaluate objectively, like try and take a mental step back and look at what you're about to deal with, look at what's ahead of you. This is where that line between dealing with what's right in front of you versus looking at the entire big picture is important, because you don't want to go from I'm dealing with this box to I have four rooms or six rooms or two rooms that are entirely full and I can't possibly deal with that. So it's about trying to stay focused on what you're doing, but with an eye to what's ahead. Try and think through logistics. Logistics are a big potential obstacle when you're dehoarding. It might be that you look ahead and see that there are bulky things you will need to get rid of, say a table or a sofa. And while you're dealing with the stuff around that table or on that table, you're focused on what you're doing, but you're also thinking, okay, to get that out of the door, I'm going to need to clear some space. And then how do I get it in the car? Maybe I can take the legs off. And if I unscrew the legs, that should fit in the car. And then I can take it to the tip. And you're not overwhelming yourself with the possibilities, but you're opening your perspective to know that that's ahead. And just start teasing the possibilities in the back of your mind while you're focused on what you're doing in the front of your mind. Another obstacle can be really practical, like you get going and you don't have bags set up for donations or to take things to other rooms of the house or rubbish bags. Making sure you have what you need without overbuying, without oversupplying yourself, but making sure you have the supplies you need is relatively easy, whereas trying to dehoard without the supplies you need can be a really big obstacle. And it's worth finding out and looking into obstacles that other people in your situation have faced. That might be listening to this podcast. You might listen to the obstacles I face, and then you can build that into your own plan when you're dehoarding yourself, or it might be reading articles or watching videos or however you like to learn, or talking to friends. Or if you have a therapist or a professional organizer, they may be able to let you know obstacles that may be ahead of you. And when you do hear from other people about obstacles they've faced, you can also hear from them how they overcame them. If they've already trodden that path, it's often easier to follow in their steps than reinvent the wheel. So when you know some common or familiar roadblocks that other people have faced, that's like a shortcut to help you, so you don't have to discover them yourself and then work out how to overcome them yourself. Obviously, everybody's different and everybody faces different things and everybody's solutions are different, but it just might guide you in the right direction. And something else that really helps with identifying potential obstacles is to have a bit of a plan of what you're doing. You don't have to over plan and schedule every minute into your plan. But if to some degree you've broken down the task ahead of you into smaller chunks, that might help you to identify obstacles that are ahead of you. Because if you're thinking, okay, so my plan for the morning is those two bags and the stuff that's on the table, and you know that you've tried to clear that table 20 times before and you always get stuck, and you know that that's your plan, then as you're dealing with the bags first, the back of your brain can be percolating about what can you do differently this time with the table that might make it a success this time. When the obstacles are in our own minds, that can be things like decision fatigue, when you just hit a wall and think, I can't make any more decisions. I can't choose stay, throw, donate about one more thing. I have had it, for instance. Or when you've got so much to do and you throw yourself into it and then you burn out and you just can't do anymore. Those kind of obstacles are also preventable when we can see them in advance. If you know that decision fatigue or burnout or exhaustion or overwhelm are things you are prone to, and we all are to some degree, then building in tactics to avoid them helps you to make progress in a smoother way, in a more consistent way than the stops and starts and stops and starts you have if you throw yourself into it and then do nothing and then throw yourself back into it and then do nothing. So look at your own patterns in your own mind. What are the things that tend to trip you up when you've tried this before? And it might be that you're starting new for the first time. It might be you've never tried to dehaul before and you're thinking, well, how can I look at these patterns when I've never done this before? There are still things you can do. First of all, you can go into it thinking, I have a big learning curve ahead of me. And so one obstacle is that I don't feel like I know what I'm doing. I don't know what to expect. And the only way you learn what you're doing and you learn what to expect is by trying. And you can still anticipate obstacles, because even if you've never dehoarded before, you've done other hard things. Did you do exams at school? Have you written a big report at work? Have you applied for jobs? Have you dealt with bereavement? Have you dealt with trauma? You have gone through challenging situations. And you already know some of your patterns, even if you don't have experience with dehoarding yet. And so to some degree, you can look at your patterns in other situations and have some confidence that you're already familiar with some of what might trip you up. If you know that in the rest of your life, you tend to get overwhelmed and shut down, then one obstacle you might want to anticipate and plan for with dehoarding is getting overwhelmed and shut down, for instance. So even if you're brand new to dehoarding, that doesn't mean you've no idea what's ahead. You will learn more as you go of what's ahead, but you're not going in completely blank. And so we've looked at why it's useful to anticipate obstacles, and we've looked at how to anticipate obstacles. And so when you have anticipated obstacles, the next thing is, what do you do then? You don't want to just go, oh yeah, that's going to be hard, full stop. You want some kind of strategy in place. And a core thing for dealing with the obstacles you've identified is being adaptable. Things may not go as you planned. And if you have a very set approach to how you want to address something and you're not at all adaptable, it just makes it a lot harder to move forward. If you do what you've always done, you get what you've always got. Hoarders are very creative people when we are trying to think of reasons and justifications for keeping something. And we need to remember that when we look at a problem and think, I'm not creative enough to come up with a solution for this. Because we are. We're just applying it in a different situation normally. And so having some adaptability and flexibility and creativity at our fingertips when we're anticipating obstacles, whether those obstacles are in our own mind, whether they are quite logistical, whether they are practical or something you feel ill-equipped for, adaptability and creativity can go a long way. They really can. It's immensely difficult and immensely helpful to have some trust in yourself that you can deal with it. Have some trust in yourself that you can be resourceful. Have some trust in yourself that you can be creative and adaptable and flexible. Have some trust in yourself that you can be determined enough to find a way through. And having that trust in yourself, in my experience, is so hard. It's so hard. But the more success I have, the more little inklings of that trust just peep through the ground like snowdrops when everything is bleak and grey and soggy, and then a little snowdrop just peeps through the soil and you think, oh, there is life under the cracked earth. And similarly, the more situations I do deal with, the more I have to occasionally acknowledge that maybe I can deal with stuff. Maybe I do have that capability. Maybe this isn't beyond my capacity. Ask yourself, what will I need if that happens? Whatever that is. If I come across a bag of stuff that will be really difficult, what will I need to get through that? Will I need to put it to one side until I've got support? Will I need to put it to one side till later in the process? Will I need to just throw it out unopened because I know it will be tricky? If you can anticipate what's going to be difficult, you can also start to anticipate solutions. And if there's something you can see coming, like you know that in the past, dehoarding is something you've thrown yourself into and done nothing else for 3 weeks and then burnt out and not done anything for 6 months. Ask yourself, what can I do now to prevent that from happening? When I was doing all that emergency dehoarding over Christmas for the electrical testing, I knew that I had a lot to do in a short time, but I also knew that exhaustion was a real danger, because the only way I had a chance of achieving what I needed to achieve was to make steady progress, fast steady progress, considerable steady progress. But if I did everything in the first week and then burnt out and was exhausted and couldn't move after that, that would be a disaster. If I made less progress in the first week, but that meant I also had a second week and a third week that I could keep working on it, then I would have a chance of clearing the way to all the electrical sockets by the time the electrician was coming. And so even when I was being productive and I was in the flow and I was in the mood and I was making progress, I anticipated burnout and exhaustion as a potential obstacle. I asked myself, what do I need to do to prevent that? And I knew that the answer was, keep taking breaks. Allow yourself the odd day off, even if it feels counterintuitive. And because I'd anticipated that as a potential obstacle, and because I had worked out a logical answer to the question, what do I need now? What do I need to do to prevent that? I implemented that even when it felt counterintuitive. If you've listened to the episode a couple of weeks ago about the emotional impact of that emergency dehord, you'll know that there were definite ups and downs. There were definite points at which I shut down entirely, but that I also, even with those peaks and troughs, made steady progress, which was what I needed to do. I made consistent progress. So working backwards from your anticipated problem can be immensely helpful. And of course, when you anticipate a problem, another way to approach that is to ask for help, ask for support, ask for advice. That might be a therapy situation. It might be asking your friends, but applying creativity, adaptability, resourcefulness, asking for help, planning, anticipating, working backwards, knowledge of yourself, knowledge of your past experiences to this whole process. When you look ahead and see a potential roadblock, you're a lot less likely to grind to a halt when you reach it. If you've been wondering how you can support the podcast, there are loads of options that can really help. These include donations, but if that's not something you're able to do, you can also help by leaving a review, sharing the podcast on social media, linking to the podcast from your website, or following me on social media. There are loads of possibilities. Find out more at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/support.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So I'm not the kind of person who can sit in silence and meditate. I have PTSD and I have a very noisy brain and I cannot deal with sitting in silence and meditating. However, I do really appreciate that kind of the benefits of that kind of mindfulness. And even though I tend to listen to podcasts all day these days, it used to be that I would listen to Radio 4 all day, BBC Radio 4. And BBC Radio 4 it calls itself intelligent speech, which is a bit pretentious, but it's an odd collection of programs that is on all day, every day. It includes comedy, it includes a lot of news and a lot of thought-provoking stuff. These days, I prefer podcasts because I have more control over what I listen to. But a lot of what I listen to is Radio 4 podcasts. So I just still listen to Radio 4 all the time, just on my own schedule rather than theirs. But in the days when I listened to the radio live all the time, I also had long periods of insomnia. And there's something that happens on Radio 4 in the early hours called the shipping forecast. And the shipping forecast is this slightly bewildering few minutes of radio where the BBC broadcasts I guess, a weather forecast for the seas around Britain.
Viking, north at Cirrha, south at Cirrha. Southerly, 6 to gale 8, but severe gale 9 at first in north at Cirrha. Veering, southwesterly 5 for a time. Occasionally, severe gale 9 later. Rain or showers, good, occasionally poor. 40s, south 6 to gale 8, decreasing 4 to 6, then increasing gale 8 to storm 10. Rain or showers, good, occasionally poor.
And there's something about lying in bed in the early hours of the morning while somebody reads out this very specific forecast in language and a format that makes no sense at all. But as you imagine sailors on the sea listening to it, that is quite, for me, meditative.
Dogger, Fisher, German Bight, Humber, Thames, Dover, White. South or southwest, 6 to gale 8, increasing gale 8 or severe gale 9, occasionally storm 10, later except in White. Rain or showers, good, occasionally poor. Portland, Plymouth, Biscay, Fitzroy. Westerly or southwesterly, 4 to 6, increasing 7 to severe gale 9, except in South Biscay. Rain or showers, good, occasionally poor.
I have looked in the past into what the various bits of the shipping forecast mean, see if I can make any sense of it. But actually, I think I prefer not understanding it. Instead, it's just patterns of words and sounds that soothes my brain and it takes me out mentally to the seas. And it's just familiar and also completely alien. And I miss the shipping forecast when I stop listening to the radio all the time. But I recently discovered that you can get the shipping forecast as a podcast, which I now do. I don't listen to them all. I think there's 3 a day. That's excessive when you're not a sailor. But every few days, I listen to one of the shipping forecasts. And it calms my brain.
Seoul. Southwest gale 8 to storm 10. Rain or showers, good, occasionally poor. Lunday Fastnet, Irish Sea. South or southwest, 5 to 7.
And I'm not saying you have to listen to the shipping forecast. That may not be what does it for you. But if you're the kind of person who needs a way to be mindful and to wind down but can't sit in silence, my top tip for you this week is find something that you don't fully understand but that your brain somehow finds soothing. Okay, thank you for listening, and I will speak to you next time. Thank you for listening to the Overcome Compulsive Hoarding with That Hoarder podcast. You can find more online at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk. You can find me on Twitter at That Hoarder and on Facebook at Overcome Compulsive Hoarding with That Hoarder. To find out more about how you can support the podcast and the overall project, go to overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/support and do subscribe to the podcast to make sure you don't miss any future episodes. There may be links in this podcast that earn me money. This doesn't come at any extra cost to you if you ever make a purchase through the links, and it helps to support the future of the podcast.
Now on Broadway, An Enemy of the People is a New York Times critic's pick. Jeremy Strong is one of the great actors of his generation, hails the Chicago Tribune in a performance the Wall Street Journal praises as powerfully affecting and bitterly funny. Michael Imperioli sets off sparks, cheers the Hollywood Reporter. Victoria Pedretti is luminous, raves variety. From director Sam Gold and playwright Amy Herzog, An Enemy of the People is urgent, electrifying, and haunting, declares USA Today. An Enemy of the People on Broadway through June 16th only.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness.
We host the Holderness Family Podcast every Tuesday.
You may know us from the silly videos that we make online.
Or a book about marriage called Everybody Fights.
Or as winners of season 33 of The Amazing Race.
Still can't believe that happened. Listen, we do a lot of stuff, but our podcast is our most favorite thing.
Yeah, because every week we get to sit down face to face, talk to each other about marriage, family, mental health, or just anything that we want to know more about.
Sometimes we have expert interviews, sometimes it's just us, but our goal is to bring some joy and laughter into your life every week.
Our other goal is that maybe you will learn something as well.
Right. So search the Holderness Family Podcast and check out our most recent episodes. We have one about staying organized with creators of The Home Edit.
And one about being diagnosed with ADHD as an adult.
We hope you'll join us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.